Welcome into another edition of Locked On Bills and a special crossover with Locked On Jets late in the week today. So for your listening pleasure, we're going to do a crossover here late to get this in. I am here with John Butchko, Locked On Jets podcast host over there, doing great work for our crosstown rival, cross-state rival, really. John, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well, Kevin. How are you?
Doing well. Kind of interesting seasons here for both squads, both going, you know, way of the rookie quarterback and both going way of potentially not seeing that rookie quarterback. I mean, we're going to start on the, I guess, the Jets side of the ball on offense, and, you know, we can kind of talk about the Bills defense with that. But with Sam Darnold at least being out this week, what is there to watch for Jets people or even Bills people? Like, what are you guys expecting now with that news?
You know, it's tough to say because so much of this season has been wrapped up in Sam Darnold. I think heading into the season, most people would have told you for the Jets, not that the record's totally irrelevant, but Sam Darnold's progress is the most important thing for this season for the Jets. It's not so much, you know, wins or losses. Now, of course, the quarterback impacts wins or losses. So if Darnold's playing well, you're going to win some games. If Darnold's not playing well, you're going to lose some games. But I'll tell you, I got this to say, from the Jets side, I think the game becomes much less exciting without Darnold in there because I think Darnold's progress, especially with the way the Jets are struggling, the Jets don't look like they're going to be a playoff team this year. Really, that's the thing you tune in for the Jets. So I think this is a much less intriguing game for Jets fans now without Darnold in it.
Well, you caught up to the Bills who kind of cost this experience after going 2-3 and then having every opportunity to win in the Houston game. Shit, if Josh Allen stays in that game, they may be 3-3 heavy with some big wins. But you guys now are facing what the Bills fans faced about 3 weeks ago when their quarterback got hurt and then just became almost, for lack of a better term, just a lost cause. So I kind of feel like the Jets are the same. Although the difference I think that Josh McCown is very capable of at least winning football games. He's got a tough challenge against this Bills defense, which is definitely by far the strength of this team and ranked top five in most statistical categories. But I mean, he has an opportunity to increase the offensive production, at least for this week. Would that be true? Or do you really think that at this point in his career, Sam Darnold still is offering the Jets the best chance to win?
You know, I think McCown's a capable backup. I think he's doing a decent job. I think he did a decent job last year. He had some fourth quarter meltdowns, which cost the Jets some games. It's tough to say. I mean, Darnold struggled a lot last week against Miami. So there's a school of thought. Maybe McCown gives you a slightly better chance to win. I'm not so sure how much I buy into that. I think McCown is essentially right for the role he's in. I think last year he was probably a little stretched as a starter. I think that a lot of the positive feelings that came from McCown last year were the result of expectations entering that season being so low. If you look at what he actually did, he wasn't terrible, but it probably wasn't as good as people make it out to be. So I think if the Jets' chances have improved, it's only marginally. So I'm not sure it makes a huge difference. I'm not sure it makes a difference the way necessarily the Bills' chances would decrease if they had to, you know, throw Nathan Peterman in there.
Right. I mean, it's interesting. Talk to me about the Jets' offense in general now. I mean, we've both talked about quarterback on our shows ad nauseum here at your local daily podcast network. We really appreciate all the new listeners, and we probably both hammer home Josh Allen, Sam Darnold, two quarterbacks that could have wound up on, you know, Cleveland, Buffalo, or New York, mainly the three teams that were there, and I guess Arizona. But this is the way it shook out, and, you know, we've broken that down ad nauseum. So tell me about the Jets' offense beside the quarterback position. What can we expect in this game? What would they be looking to do with maybe a Josh McCown? Are they, you know, going to get their run game going with Crowell? Can kind of talk to me a little bit about, I know Robbie Anderson and Quincy Enunwa have been banged up, but I've heard some bad things about the Spencer Long. Can you elaborate on that as well? So kind of just talk to me up the top of the Jets offense.
Well, the offensive line's very inconsistent. It's below average unit. It's not the worst unit in the league, but you don't know what you're getting on a week-to-week basis. Typically, the bad performances have been more frequent than the good performances. Yeah, Spencer Long, the guy you mentioned. Last year, the weakest link of the offensive line, which was a pretty weak unit, was Wesley Johnson, the center. So the Jets went out and spent some money in the offseason. They bring in Spencer Long in free agency. And by a number of measures, Long has actually been worse than Johnson was a year ago. And, you know, in the Jets fan base, Johnson being bad became such a talking point that people are saying, well, you know, Long's at least a marginal upgrade, and it's just based on how bad Johnson was last year. But if you actually look at some of the numbers, there's an argument to be made. Long has been a downgrade. He's been banged up. He's had a hand injury. And simply executing shotgun snaps has become an issue. It's been an issue for over a month now where he's just erratic. The balls are not, the snaps are not going where they should be. The quarterback has to reach. So, yeah, I mean, long, I think, has been the biggest issue on the – again, I think the center position has been the biggest issue on the offensive line for the Jets. I think that in terms of the skill positions, they have guys who are functional NFL players, but they don't have any game-breaking talent. They lost Bilal Powell, who's probably their top back. Isaiah Crowell is now the top back. He's been very feast or famine. He's had a couple good games, but then he's also had games where he's done very little. And at wide receiver, they have some guys who are – decent, but not spectacular. You know, they've been banged up. They've got Quincy Enunwa, Robbie Anderson back. Enunwa was Darnold's favorite target early in the year. Anderson has, to be honest, been kind of a disappointment. Last year, he had a big year. He finished just under 1,000 yards. The bulk of his production came from the deep ball last year, though, and he really has not diversified his game. He's still a threat deep, but he's not really an all-around receiver. So it's an offense that really it's a tough spot to put a rookie quarterback. It's not as bad as some of the recent Jets offenses, like the one Geno Smith was put in as a rookie, but it's still not a great unit.
So I know there were some rumors around Robbie Anderson being traded and as potential to a couple of teams. Did you want to see him traded, knowing that he's in a contract year, getting an asset out of him, or is he someone that the Jets might deem to be potential with Sam Darnold longer term?
No, I mean, I don't think you can. I think that it would have been tough to further reduce the talent level around Darnold, and the Jets still should be able to retain him next year, because I think it'll be a restricted free agent, which means they should be able to put a relatively cheap tender on him and be able to retain him. But I think at this point, further depleting the talent base around Darnold probably would have been a mistake.
Yeah, definitely. I agree with you with that. Now, prior being let go and obviously signing to the Bills, it was said that maybe the Jets wanted him back. Any insight you can give us into why they cut Pryor in the first place and then wanting to bring him back? Was it an injury roster thing? It seemed like he was coming off of a couple of decent games for the Jets. What kind of transpired there, and do you think that he would have been able to continue to help Sam Darnold?
Yeah, the Jets say that it was because of an injury and they were interested in bringing him back. I'm not buying that, though. I've never heard of a player who you wanted who got hurt and you cut instead of just deactivating him until he got healthy. I think there was more going on behind the scenes there. Pryor's been a difficult guy in the locker room his past couple stops, and there are some indications that maybe that was the case with the Jets. There was an incident in training camp where he revealed an injury and Todd Bowles publicly rebuked him. And if you know anything about Todd Bowles, it's very rare he takes a player to task in public, so it was a sign of irritation. I mean, Pryor just wasn't playing hard for a number of key plays for the Jets. There were a number of lousy routes he ran that cost the Jets key completions where he just gave up on his route. So I think there was more happening behind the scenes there. I mean, there's a reason this guy just can't find a team to stick on. He has a lot of natural ability, but I feel like you always are left wanting more. And, you know, the Jets were pretty much in the position during the offseason the Bills are now, where you're trying to harness that natural ability, and you understand why the guy gets a job, why the guy keeps getting jobs in the NFL, but you also see why the guy struggles to keep a job. It's just because, you know, you're always left wanting more with Pryor.
Yeah, it's interesting because obviously we'll talk about on the next segment here where we're going to get into the Bills offense a little bit and maybe a little bit of the Jets defense. We'll get into Pryor, but the Bills are very much a culture team. It was an interesting signing from the start, so they must kind of buy into some of that injury kind of disgruntlement, or I wouldn't have thought that you saw a signing of Pryor to the Bills. Get into that next segment. But I did want to take a time to mention MyBookie. And, you know, ever since I started this podcast, people have been asking me for advice. Usually it's what team to bet on this week. But the truth is, we don't know who's going to win. But if you think you know, you got to check out MyBookie. Remember, who you're betting on is just as important as who you're betting with. That's why I always tell people to check out MyBookie. Trust me, guys, they're your best bet this season. Lots of good lines out there this week. Get out there and check all those out. MyBookie is slammed with new bettors and wants to get everyone the best service possible. If you're willing to deposit after 7 p.m. Eastern, they'll give you an additional 25% free play on over $100. That's right, an additional $25 if you deposit after 7 p.m. Join MyBookie now, and we will match your deposit dollar for dollar using promo code LOCKEDON25. That's right, LOCKEDON25. It's up to you guys, but I'd wait until after dinner and take that extra money as well as that dollar for dollar match. You play, you win, you get paid. All right, John, I wanted to get back into this a little bit and talk to you, you know, watch flip sides of the ball and talk about the very interesting Bills offense, Jets defense. What have you seen from the Jets defense so far? Is it up to par? You know, kind of break that down from by and large for the Bills listeners out there to see what they're expecting on Sunday.
It's a unit that's played relatively well recently. You know, they spent a lot of money in the offseason to upgrade their cornerback group. They brought in Tremaine Johnson, who, frankly, has been kind of a disappointment so far. He's been banged up. He hasn't played that effectively when he's been in there. On the other side of the ball, Maurice Claiborne, who is playing pretty well. In the slot, you have Buster Skrine, who's, you know, again, another guy who's up and down, more down than up. And you have two young safeties who are talented. Jamal Adams is having a big second season. And Marcus May has been pretty steady in the back of the defense, although he's been another guy who's been kind of banged up during the season. He missed the first couple games. He missed other games at various points of the year. I think entering the season, Jets fans thought that the secondary would be a strength of the team. I think it's been up and down. I think things have been trending up for this defense. You look at the group of linebackers, you have Avery Williamson, who's a good run stopper. They got him. He was a free agent signing from Tennessee. Darren Lee, a good linebacker who's improving. His first 2 years were really rough. He was a first round pick, playing a lot better now in his third season. Looks like he's starting to come along a bit. And then on the defensive line, Leonard Williams is the big name. He's kind of having a disappointing season. You have Steve McClendon, nose tackle, solid guy, kind of flies under the radar. Henry Anderson, a defensive lineman who was acquired by the from the Colts after the at the tail end of the NFL draft this season. Started off really effective as a pass rusher, has kind of cooled off in recent weeks. On the edge, I think there's a weakness. There's no really great edge rusher this year. Brandon Copeland's had his moments, but I think that's kind of a weakness on this Jets defense.
What about Nathan Shepard? He's a guy I liked out of the draft in the third round. And what can you tell us about Nathan and your expectations for him so far?
Yeah, he was a guy who flashed a lot in training camp and preseason, but he hasn't made that much of an impact so far as a rookie. I think, you know, he's probably a longer-term player for the Jets.
Gotcha. That makes a lot of sense. So you would say the biggest weakness and or thing to address would be the Jets' pass rush. Would that be kind of your opinion?
Yeah, and it's been a chronic issue with the Jets. I think it's been since probably 2005, since they had a guy I trusted off the edge, and that was when they traded John Abraham to Atlanta. It's just been something the Jets, this team has been unable to address, and I mean, part of it is just they have not invested a lot of early round picks in it since the Vernon Golston failure a decade ago. So I think it's just one of those things where Jets have just struggled to – it seems like the Jets have not made enough of an effort to try and address the issue, I would say.
That's interesting. I mean, the Bills are kind of built, you know, obviously on their defensive side of the ball. They spent a lot of assets on their front seven and kind of neglect the offense to the segment we're on now. They have the cheapest offensive line in the NFL. It's one that's probably exceeded expectations. That's actually fairly decent in pass block for as bad as his offense is. It's absolutely anemic in run block. We have a frustrated LeSean McCoy right now. Chris Ivory just running straight up the field is their best option. He's been pretty good. It's actually a downgrade if he's unable to go this week. Unsure of his final designation, but should be somewhere around the questionable mark. But he's been the Bills' best by PFF and, you know, just by the eyesight that he's been their best offensive all-around player. They have a scat back in Marcus Murphy who came out of nowhere who could get involved in this game. But LeSean McCoy cannot get running. His style of running just does not work behind this offensive line who, once again, I would say is fairly average in pass block. It's been fine. I mean, it's not the reason the Bills are struggling, but they just cannot run block to save their lives. I mean, you have you're going to have a fifth-round pick, Wyatt Teller, starting this week at left guard, which is much needed. I think he's an upgrade. You're going to have Deion Dawkins, a rookie from last year, starting. Russell Bodine, pretty much a holdover. He's a lot of people, some people like him, some people hate him, so he's really polarizing as a center prospect. He's played pretty well. He doesn't miss starts, and I actually am on the camp of liking him. Brian Groy was a tire fire. Their starting center that was supposed to take over for Eric Wood. Getting paid decent money as Eric Wood's backup and just his complete flop. They will be letting him go this offseason. Jordan Mills and John Miller are just your average to below average run-of-the-mill right side of the line. You may start to see some Jeremiah Sarles there, a free agent that they really like, they like the way he's played. He's probably their only plus run blocker in this entire unit. So they'll probably try to get him in right tackle at some point during this game, but the skill positions and Terrell Pryor, I mean, he steps into a situation where he's immediately the Bills' third receiver, like no questions asked off the street. They don't have any depth behind Kelvin Benjamin, who you know, depending on who you ask, has been a major flop, and Zay Jones, who's coming on finally himself. But they did go out and sign Isaiah McKenzie, who I think you'll see take over all the special teams duties. He struggled last year in Denver with 6 fumbles, but the Bills need a boost, and they're willing to try it out here against the Jets to see how that goes. So watch out for special teams to see if they're going to be a decent success or a total flop, and he'll put one on the ground. So that could end up mattering either way there in this game. But Terrell Pryor's a guy they want to get going. I wouldn't be so shocked to see him have 4 to 6 targets. It's not saying that much, but in this Bills offense it is. And really in an offense that we're not 100% sure that Josh Allen doesn't start in this game. I mean, Sean McDermott's doing everything he can to start this guy without mortgaging the future. And they're going to play him if he gets cleared by this. It's not going to be one of those situations where they can rest him through the bye. So there might be a little bit more intrigue in this matchup, at least, I guess, on the Bills side of it, if Josh Allen's able to go. Derek Anderson's already been ruled out, and the team's doing everything they can to not start Nathan Peterman. John, I wouldn't be shocked to see Matt Barkley in this game if Josh Allen is, like Anderson, ruled out. I just don't think they're going to be able to play Peterman any longer.
That is a name I have not heard in a long time.
They're willing to take the chance, John. I'm not kidding. They're willing to take the shot on getting plus play out of Matt Barkley because they're just so confident that they're going to get negative play out of Nathan Peterman. And it's going to be an interesting intrigue. So I don't know if it's more intriguing that Matt. I think it's more intriguing if Matt Barkley plays than Nathan Peterman.
It's
for sure.
It's too bad the Jets didn't keep Hackenberg. I mean, that would be a very interesting matchup. Hackenberg against Hackenberg against Peterman. That would that would bring back memories of this game the Jets played in 2012 against Arizona, where it was Ryan Lindley against Sanchez when Sanchez was totally collapsing. In fact, Greg McElroy, who won a national title with Alabama, came off the bench that day, led the Jets on a touchdown drive. They won that game 7-6. I think it was Greg McElroy's like one moment in the NFL.
That's great. Matt Barkley, I think the team actually thinks that once he learns the playbook, he's going to be at least a slight minor upgrade over Nathan Peterman. I wouldn't be shocked to see him on the waiver wire on a practice squad here in the next 3 to 4 weeks whenever Allen's fully ready to go. They'll have Allen Anderson and Barkley, who's actually an upgrade to where they started this season. So they should have done this in the offseason, and they completely botched it. But Nathan Peterman shouldn't be on an NFL active roster. I think he might have some developmental qualities. Just what's really fooled his coaching staff with playing really good in the preseason and just looking like he rebounded from his awful 5-interception game against the Chargers, started off at the 3-interception game against the Ravens, gets benched at halftime, hasn't completed a full game until last week when the Bills were just like, whatever, just finish this game out. He would have gotten benched if there was an importance in that game against the Bears as well, causing another 3 turnovers. So one was off Pryor's hand. So back to your initial point of not completing routes. One he bobbled and threw up in the air and was picked off. So it was a pretty bad play, but it is Nathan Peterman. So I'm not going to blame anybody but Nathan Peterman for any of his interceptions. Intrigue on this game. I mean, I want to get into big picture stuff for a really quick third segment. But just wanted to take a quick time to say the Lockdown Podcast Network is doing unprecedented things on Twitter and Instagram. Follow that Lockdown Instagram. You can find it on Twitter at Lockdown NFL Net. And you get all the Lockdown Podcast Network hosts covering all their teams. So you can check out what John's doing, what I'm doing, what all the other great stories around the league are. So make sure you check out all that social media networks. And on Instagram at Lockdown Network, it's giving you the biggest stories on your Instagram for you. Just a minute and your Instagram stories are right there, refreshed. So make sure you check out that on both Twitter and Instagram. All right, John, finally, want to talk about me for a couple minutes here to wrap this third and final segment up with you. What are you looking big picture out of this game from a Jets perspective? Are you just looking to get through it, or kind of talk to me about what you expect and how many points do you expect the offense to score with Josh McCown?
Yeah, I think just try and get through this game because Okay. Once you get there, you're to the bye, and then maybe Darnold's back. But like so much of the season is wrapped up in developing Sam Darnold, and when he's not on the field, there's not a lot to look forward to for this team because you got a 39-year-old quarterback in there who you know is not with you. I mean, I actually would not be – you know, people say this is McCown's last year. I would not be shocked to see him come back next year because it's a pretty cushy job to be a backup quarterback. Sure. And McCown could probably – you know, it's a pretty good deal. McCown's making $10 million this year. So, I mean, wouldn't you – somebody offers you $10 million to hold a clipboard, wouldn't you do that for one more year?
And play one game against a divisional team, sure.
Yeah, so I mean, I actually wouldn't be shocked to see him come back next year, but he's obviously not the long-term quarterback of the future for the Jets. That's Sam Darnold. So when Darnold's not in there, there's not a lot to be excited about for this game. So really, it is just try and get through this game.
Are they now? I don't know if this is stupid, but if I was, and tell me your opinion on this. If I was a Jets media member or fan or anything, here's something that we would experience. Are you going to call up Davis Webb, obviously, if you don't activate Sam Darnold? And why not play him? What do you have to lose?
Just- I think, you know, somebody, we did a mailbag show yesterday on Locked On Jets. Somebody asked that. I've watched Davis Webb in the preseason, and I was really – I mean, I think you could be looking at another Hackenberg, another Peterman.
Like, okay.
The guy's really bad. Like, I mean, look at – who needs a quarterback in the – everybody needs a quarterback in the NFL. Like, even if your starter's good, you could use a backup. This guy is on the practice squad. Every team in the NFL has had a chance to sign him for, you know, 2-3 months, and nobody's done it yet. So, yeah, I mean –
including the Bills, right?
Yeah, and I know, like, I know sometimes teams make mistakes, but – I think the odds of all 32 teams making a mistake on this guy is probably pretty low. It does happen, but I think it's probably pretty low. So, I mean, I still think the Jets are good. The Jets, their season's not over yet. I know it's a long shot that they make the playoffs, but I still think you have to try and win this game. And I don't, and I'm not a big McCown guy, but I don't think there's any doubt McCown gives this team a better chance to win than Davis Webb would.
Okay.
I do think they'll activate him if – I mean, I think they have to activate him if Darnold's not ready to play. But I do agree with the decision the Jets are making to play McCown.
Yeah, I guess my principal point was you're hoping McCown's back after the bye. You know what you have in McCown, and you can always go to him. He knows your offense. You can always go to him if it's something, you know, disastrous. But, you know, trying to find your long-term backup is just as important. That's what the Bills did, honestly, and they failed at it with Nathan Peterman. They weren't thinking Nathan Peterman was a long-term franchise quarterback or even a starter. That's not what they were thinking. I know that kind of is pushed in the narratives. They were expecting him to hopefully be QB2 at a $500,000 salary, that some guy you can trust and starts where Josh Allen gets his elbow crushed by Whitney Merciless on a pretty dirty play, that you can put in Peterman and be okay. That's what they were trying to develop. They obviously failed at it. And then they got into a little bit of worry mode with, well, what if we cut this guy too early and he goes to the Jets or anywhere else and he becomes a good QB2? Like, that's like our biggest worry, instead of just cutting him like they should have done. So what do you think about Davis Webb? Do you think that's a good solution for him, or just not, it's not even there, just don't even mess with it?
You know, I was going to say, it never ceases to amaze me that how much trying to avoid looking bad motivates these teams opposed to making the right decision. Like, you're more afraid of a guy you cut going somewhere else and being successful than entrusting your own evaluation that the guy can't play. It never ceases to amaze me. I mean, he was a developmental guy. I think he's a guy who was worth a practice squad spot on. He's got some physical tools. I think a guy like Webb reminds me a lot of the guy the Jets had last year, Bryce Petty, where the tools were all there. It's just the mental part of the game is not, and it's tough to develop that. So it's worth a shot. I think it's a lottery ticket. I wouldn't be floored. It wouldn't be the most shocking thing in the world, but I think the odds are very much against it when it comes to Webb. I mean, teams don't – and I understand there's a new regime who wanted to bring their own guys in with the Giants, but it's pretty striking that the Giants cut him so soon.
Fair enough. I just wanted to ask the question to see if you guys were interested in a long-term backup, but, you know, from your
opinion. Well, yeah. I mean, look, that's what I think that's the goal for Webb. I think that's why they got him. I think they're hoping it happens, but I think there's a difference between hoping and
exactly. We know that very well with Nathan Peterman here. You do not have to break that down. All right, final thing here. Score predictions. What's going to be the final score of this barn burner complete playoff battle that we have going on here? What do you got for the score there in New York?
You know, it's tough to say because I don't know who the Bills quarterback's going to be in this game.
That's a big difference.
So let's say, you know, Jets 16, Bills 13. I won't pick against the job. I'm sure you'll pick the Bills, so let's have some balance on the show.
You know what? I can't – if I got news that Josh Allen was playing, I would actually probably flip that and say, we'll give you two score predictions. I was going to say 16-13 as well. Bills favor with Josh Allen in the lineup with Nathan Peterman. I don't have it. If it's, I don't know with Barkley, so I can't give you a prediction, but if it is going to be Peterman, it's going to be 21-10 New York, just because there's just no hope. The Bills have a plus defense, very defense that could keep them in any game and have, including New England. It's just not going to happen with Nathan Peterman at quarterback. If that guy trots out, you might as well just put a win in the column, go to your bye, and maybe make a press for that bad sixth seed in the AFC, which right now is Cincinnati, and I don't know that they're quite, going to be able to hang on to that. There's going to be some competition for that six, just like the Bills took it last year and Miami the season before. So it's never over, right? Is it for Jets fans, or do you think it's about over?
I think we're getting close to that. But let me say this, is that I think all you listeners out there, you learn that if Josh Allen plays this game, you go to my bookie, as Kevin was talking about, and the over-under of this game is 29, because it's going to be 16-13. You heard that here first.
Yeah, you did. If Josh Allen plays, I wouldn't be shocked to go bet over. I think Josh Allen's good enough.
It's going to be 16-13. I think it's Jets, you think it's Bills, but we know it's 16-13. So.
We do, and if it's not, stay away from this game, right? Anyways, from Locked On, Bills, Locked On Jets. I'm Kevin Messeri. And actually, tell our followers where they can find you as well on any social media.
Gangrene Nation.
Gangrene Nation. You heard it there. Once again, Locked On Bills, Locked On Jets. See you guys later.